I'm going to begin with a question. What is your image of God? We read in our Bible, and especially in the book of Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so they did, making man separate from the animals of the field on the earth, and in the image of the God family. We know that we must become, in our practices in this life, the things that will promote us being in the image of God by the examples that Jesus Christ demonstrated while here on this earth. Jesus Christ promoted an image of God the Father that was not known to the living world. Now, after we knowing from inspired words written for us to observe and to immerse ourselves in, that we too will promote an image as Christians and true followers of the demonstrated way of Jesus Christ. In our journey as Christians, giving thought to that image we hold of God the Father in our minds, the thing that sticks is correct, that we find a full reliance upon where we can continually go in prayer in any situation. What is your image of God in good times? In times of hardship? Have you noticed any changes in the good and in the stressful times? These are important questions for us if we are to keep in mind a consistent view, that image that will never change is who he is. Satan has determined that his will and way to change our perception of the Father, as he did with Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God who became the Father said to God who became Jesus Christ, "Let us make man in our image." And so it was. And man was put in the process of becoming like God. And God intends that we become like him spiritually, in character, so we may be born into that eternal family, his kingdom. God plans for us to become like him totally. Now we have to accept it while we look like God in our physical image. We are not spiritually like God. We are eons away from God spiritually. We're not eternal. Our thoughts and our ways are not naturally God's thoughts and ways. We still struggle with that. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, an unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, but he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and thoughts." If we are going to become like God, we have to forsake the way that is human, in the way of Satan, implemented through human nature selfishness, greedy, lustful. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, it says we ought to become like Christ. Why is the question? Why? Because he is like God the Father. We ought to become perfect as he is. But we first have to know what and who God is. We have to have that right fixed image in our minds, or he can't help us. But man's image of God is very imperfect. The pagans, they picture God via their dead idols. Birds, fish, snakes, oxens. And in professing Christians, they have been given a mental image of the weak appearing Christ. You notice those movies where he looked downtrodden, long hair, just can't take another step? That's an image that Christ has fostered upon the earth. And Satan has created this false image in all of the minds in the past. So now, if we are to be fruitful, we must have a correct and proper fixed image of God, or else we will never become like him. Now, as we move through this message today, we will see and focus on some points along the way. The first point is, the true image is unchangeable. The true image is unchangeable. Now, what if you have a bad day and things aren't going well? Think God's out to get you? Barely get out of bed? Oh, God got his thumb on me today. I just can't crawl out of this bed. Something's going on. He wants me to do something. And so man's image of God is altered daily by circumstances in our lives that is not the right image. That doesn't mean that our image of God doesn't continually grow. It must. If we're going to mature spiritually, our image of God has to grow and develop and mature. But we can't let the circumstances in our lives capriciously alter our image of what God is or is not. That's not the fixed image of God. That isn't the way God wants us to know him. This isn't what's going to take place in our minds, that image that we must have must be ultimately be like him and not as the shifting sands of the sea from day to day. It can be said, God is the most stable quantity and the most fixed quantity in the whole of the universe. That's something we have to know. He just is. And we read in Malachi 3 and verse 6, God said, I change not. I change not. We don't change God by what we think God is. We change our minds. Do that all the time. But that doesn't alter God. We humans continually try to alter that true image of God to conform to our justifications, our self, our own desires, what we think are our needs. It's what we want to believe is God. But in the end, it is not. And because we have not seen the right image of God, we don't know and have faith that we can rely upon. Because if that image is not correct, how can we rely upon him? We cannot call upon a God whom we do not really know, whose true image is not solidly fixed in our minds, and then have assurance about what he's going to do. Now, but next point, let's look at ancient Israel and how they failed. How they failed to have that fixed image of God in their heads. Because ancient Israel, coming out of Egypt, had a tremendous elation, excitement, and encouragement. For the first time, as far as that generation was concerned, there was freedom. But they came upon severe problems because their image of God was a little more than their image of a man, Moses. They complained about the bitter water at Mara and about not having flesh to eat with their manna. When they went to spy out the land, they didn't see that God would give them victory over the giants. Their image of God was poor. They had not grown to know God. Does that tell us something about ourselves? It should. And it must. Even after they crossed the Jordan River with Joshua into the promised land, and after God gave them Jericho, their successes didn't last long. Too often, our right image of God never reaches very far, only until the next problem. Then we draw the wrong conclusion. Or we doubt again. Or we wander. You see, after Jericho, the army of Israel went up against Ai. And of course, the men of Ai, they smoked Israel, about 36 men, and their hearts sank. Question. Where was God? What happened to God? It was a question going through their minds. They couldn't figure it out. And from the heights of elation to the depths of despair, hearts of the people melted and became as water. Their defective image of God totally crumbled. They thought God had deserted them. And when it was they who deserted God, you think about it. All the signs that God had showed those people walking through that desert for that many years. And still, their image, they had doubt. Where's God? Lessons for us about cementing that image of God in our lives as we walk and as we hold these truths to our bosom. Do we doubt? Because in our infancy, in this work, our image of God was weak. And as we've grown over the years to where you are now, 30, 40 years, is that image strong? God wants to know. Next point is we perfecting our image of Christ. We know that Christians ought to become like Christ. But do we know what Christ is? Do we have that true image fixed in our minds? We know that Christ had the right image of his Father, because he knew what his Father expected. He knew why he was here upon this earth. And he pursued that diligently to the depths of his being. And so to the end of his life, he portrayed that knowledge. Let's look at the Apostle Paul making an observation here in Colossians. Colossians 1. In verse 10, Colossians 1, verse 10, and we'll read down through verse 17. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, verse 10, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed unto us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15. Firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. This gives us quite an image of Christ, of what he was and what he is now. Right there, at the right hand of his Father, the one whom we too are to become like. Now let's continue in verse 18, and we'll read down to verse 23. Verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. In verse 21, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, above reproach, in the sight, in his sight. If indeed you continued in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Unfortunately, it is a very human tendency, whether knowingly or unknowingly, to create God in our image and to become even more like that image. That's not what God wants. Remember, it is absolutely impossible to become like anyone, and particularly God. And if we don't know what he is and who he is, what he stands for, and what he believes, we don't have the image if we don't know these things. Now, how do we achieve it? Next point. How do we begin this process of achieving that right image? This should give us a purpose for prayer, because that's the way to develop a right relationship with God. And a purpose for studying his word, which gives the facts about God. The Holy Spirit then increases our understanding, wisdom, and ability to do what God expects. Faith and good works are impossible otherwise. I think a lot of times we get the idea, if we're not grounded in prayer and study and fasting, theoretically great, but some people really don't see a need for them. They don't do it very often. It's essential. It's absolute. It is needed. If we are going to have that right image of God, because it folds all three of those processes. You getting on your knees, studying that word, fasting. We must have that right image. It takes God's mind and God's spirit to be in us. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We must start with that process of doing those things to achieve that image of God. Next point, God in the image of man. Most times it's hard for man to accept the true image of God. And we'll read here some words from Jesus Christ in John 6, verses 57 and 58. John 6, verse 57 and 58. Christ said, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Now let's take a look at verse 60. Verse 60. It says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' We have trouble with these sayings, trying to reconcile them in our minds. And if we don't have that image of God the Father and Jesus Christ, in our minds, you cannot wrap your mind around that. They would say, from a physical standpoint, he's offering us to eat his flesh. Literally. It's what they're thinking. But that's not what Christ is saying. When we eat, we begin that process of prayer, study, fasting. That's the eating of this word. That's the eating of Jesus Christ. So man has a hard time wrapping their minds around it. So in verse 61, it says, when Christ knew in himself that his disciples complained, he said to them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? Would you believe that? Coming out of heaven? With the image of God in Christ? Will that correspond with that image that's in your head? The reality of it? In verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Would you believe it? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh reward is going back to the dust. And Christ goes on to say, the words I speak to you are spirit, they are life. Having that image, the correct image. Now when we look back to the time of Daniel, you could say Daniel's friends had the right idea, had the right image of God. Nebuchadnezzar built a gigantic image, probably of himself, and he expected everyone to bow down to it. And of course, when it was reported that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not do so, they were brought before the king. Daniel 3 and verse 16. Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter, because they have determined that God is God, and him only would they worship. And neither Nebuchadnezzar nor any huge idol nor man or thing was going to alter their thinking on the matter. In verses 17 and 18, it states, if it so be, our God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from that burning furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But that goes on to say in verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. It's very easy perhaps to see this kind of an image. And while none of us would bow down to that kind of image, we do, in effect, in other ways. We're bowing down to other idols or wrong images and false worship of God that is not so apparent. Number one, the cares of this world. Riches, pride, prestige, power, position, status. This is how Satan has upped his game, taken it to another level. Because in man are these things, cares of this world, power, riches, position. He said, if they won't do it physically with an idol that I'll set up here, they can physically see, I will do it in their minds. And they won't even know they're doing it. This is the dilemma where we find ourselves today. America, the biggest, the most prosperous nation on the face of this earth, and we live here. And Satan has upped his game once again because of the gadgets, the things that make life easy. You put your hands on. Instead of prayer, fasting, and study, I will deal with their minds. I will plant that false image. And they won't even know it until Christ returns and says, I'm over here. And Christ says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Until we understand the breadth and the depth of our adversary who we cannot fight. Period. It is God who fights him. It is that power that he surrounds us with and put in us. About forming that image and keeping that other image away. Here, here, here. He never sleeps. Doesn't need to. We tire. He doesn't. Planting the seeds of your destruction is what he does every single second of the day. And we must be mindful of that image that God has put in us. That you'll reach out to it in your time when it starts to get dark and you reach and you grab that image to bring back the light. And we know that we're in God's care. Next point. The seriousness of that wrong image of Christianity. Do you think sometimes your prayers fall on deaf ears? God says, behold, the eternal hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. And it talks about iniquities. It talks about that wedge that comes between us and God. And how our minds are changed. And how the image change. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. That's what happened to the Israelites when they tried to take Ai. The only reason God wouldn't hear us because we had this erroneous image and we are worshiping that false image rather than the true God and living in sin. You might say to ourselves, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Everything's okay. And so we just tool on down the road. Tailpipe falling off. Wheels coming off. You don't know it. You don't know it. And God would say, look at him. Think he has a world on a string. He think he's talking to me. I don't hear him. His lips are moving, but I don't hear the words. I don't hear the words. I don't see his heart. It's when our hearts go dark. It's when we stop prayer, study, fasting. When these things go away. And I don't want to be standing there when Christ comes back, whether I'm brought out of the dirt or still here, and he looks me square in the eye and says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Heartening. And you think to yourselves, I've spent half of my life doing your will. Would that be a conversation? He'd probably say, no, you did not. No, you did not. If you forsake the image. That's what we have to be mindful of. The Israelites tried to take Ai. God wouldn't hear them. And they were defeated. Let's not let our image of God be warped by our weakness, our infirmities, our own inability to serve him and to conform to the image that God has established. An image of Christ. Let's recognize our weaknesses and say, yes, I have a problem here. That's where it begins. Yes, God, show me my sins. I have a problem. I won't walk around anymore saying that there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing. I'll get on my knees and you show me. I have an inkling. Let's start working on it. Job. That guy sound familiar to you? Job was such a man. You can read in Job 31 how he rehearsed what an excellent employer he was. Always considerate to his employees, never oppressed anyone, never lusted after the neighbor's wife. If he saw someone poor and needy, he provided for them. An incredible man. Always generous, giving, helping. But God provided his example that none of us could remotely come close to. And is an example of, one can say, a perfect man, but who unfortunately did not have the right image of God. He tried to keep the law on his own, but with the wrong image. And of course, if you have that wrong image, you're bound to make some slip-ups. If you break the law, you pay the penalty. That's the lesson of Job. And so as you later on, just go through Job 31 and read that. But when Job was corrected, here is what he said. Job 42 and verse 5. Job 42 and verse 5. This is what Job said when he was corrected. He said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. That's that image that he gets to see. That correct image. God created us in his likeness, with the very express purpose of becoming like him. We ought to develop the character attributes of God. And that takes a great deal of time, effort, prayer, study, fasting, meditation, and doing it all with God's Spirit. Then we are to be saved and finally be born into the family of God. These words were echoed many, many years ago by an old friend of mine in the work. The Word of God and His ways are timeless, ageless. They have the same impact yesterday as is today. In this message, we've learned we cannot alter God. He doesn't change. We must always have this thought in our minds, to be conformed to His image. Not the image that we make with the aid of Satan. So in conclusion, Satan's purpose is to present to us today, as he did to Adam and Eve, an alternate image of the true God who made all things. In the title of this message today, what is your image of God? Are we ready to adjust our image of the Father and His Son if it is not correct with the Scripture and what He tells us to do? The points were, the true image is unchangeable. God never changes. We saw the failure of Israel because they did not keep the image in their minds. We perfecting our image of Jesus Christ because he looks just like the Father. Period. Ways to achieve it. To get that image burned into our minds. And how we achieve that. Are we ready to adjust our image of the Father and His Son if it's not correct with Scripture? This is a question we must answer on our knees before a righteous throne that gives us life.